Good morning and welcome to Simply Space. It's Saturday, April 27th. On today's show, North Korea reaffirms its plan to bolster space reconnaissance capabilities, while Elon Musk announces that SpaceX will solve in-space refueling for Starship by next year. Plus, the NASA Hubble Space Telescope suspends science due to a glitch. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. North Korea is doubling down on its space ambitions. The country says it will launch more reconnaissance satellites this year to monitor what it calls the U.S. and other hostile forces' military movements. This comes after Pyongyang successfully put its first spy satellite into orbit last November, following two failed attempts earlier in the year. For more, let's bring in our correspondent. North Korea is framing this as a response to U.S. militarization of space. What more can you tell us about their rationale?
That's right, David. In a statement, North Korea accused the U.S. of building up a space army over the Korean Peninsula with the ultimate goal of launching a preemptive nuclear attack. Pyongyang claims this escalates the possibility of war breaking out in the region. The regime says it has the right to develop space capabilities for self-defense in the face of what it perceives as double standards from Washington. Space Command recently condemned North Korea's satellite launches as violations of UN Security Council resolutions. But Pyongyang is pushing back, insisting on its right to advance space technology for military purposes.
And what do we know about North Korea's plans and capabilities when it comes to spy satellites?
Well, North Korea successfully launched its first reconnaissance satellite, called Molugyong-1, into orbit last November. That came after two failed attempts earlier in 2024. At the time, Pyongyang vowed to launch three more spy satellites by the end of the year. While they haven't provided a specific timeline, statements like this one indicate those plans remain on track. Experts believe these satellites, if successfully deployed, could potentially give North Korea a new level of surveillance and intelligence gathering capabilities over the Korean Peninsula. This would mark a significant advancement for the regime's military and strategic positioning.
How are South Korea and the U.S. responding to these developments?
South Korea is certainly taking this seriously. Seoul just announced plans to launch a new space security center under its spy agency to monitor and analyze threats in space, including from North Korea. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who was recently in the region, called on China to press North Korea to end what he described as dangerous behavior. But it's unclear how much sway Beijing has or is willing to exert over Pyongyang these days. Regardless, bolstering space defense and surveillance capabilities is becoming an increasingly urgent priority for South Korea and the U.S. as they try to counter the growing threat from the North.
Certainly a situation that bears close watching. Thank you for that report. We'll be sure to keep following this story as it develops here at Simply Space. Speaking of developments in space, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk says the company is working on solving key challenges to enable life on Mars. The company aims to achieve full and rapid reusability of its Starship launch vehicle and master orbital refueling by the end of next year. For more, we're joined by our space correspondent. So what exactly is SpaceX trying to accomplish here?
SpaceX is laser-focused on two fundamental technologies that Musk sees as essential for making humans a multiplanetary species. The first is achieving complete reusability of both stages of the massive Starship vehicle, the Super Heavy booster, and the Starship spacecraft itself. Being able to rapidly reuse these components is key to driving down the immense costs associated with Mars missions.
And the second piece of the puzzle is orbital refueling, correct? How would that work?
That's right. The plan is to use tanker versions of Starship to refuel the spacecraft in orbit after its initial launch. Musk described this as docking with ourselves and said while it's not trivial, it should be easier than docking with the space station, which is far more complex. Refueling in space is critical to giving Starship the range it needs to reach distant destinations, like Mars.
Musk also gave some updates on their progress with landing and catching the Super Heavy booster, right? What's the latest there?
Musk said there is a high likelihood they will attempt to catch the booster using the mechanical arms on the launch tower during a flight this year. He estimated an 80 to 90% chance of success. Landing and reusing the giant first stage booster is a key part of the reusability equation.
And how about the Starship spacecraft itself? When might we see that making a successful landing after its test flights?
For the Starship spacecraft, SpaceX first wants to demonstrate it can precisely land at a specific point in the ocean twice with a particular design before attempting to bring it back to the launch site. The spacecraft has a challenging re-entry after reaching orbital speeds. On its last flight in March, Starship broke apart during re-entry, so SpaceX still has work to do there.
It's not just SpaceX's Mars ambitions riding on Starship, though. NASA is also relying on a version of it for upcoming moon missions, right?
That's correct. NASA awarded SpaceX a contract to develop a lunar lander variant of Starship for its Artemis program, which aims to return astronauts to the surface of the moon. The agency is targeting a crewed lunar landing no earlier than September 2026, the first since Apollo 17 in 1972. So there is a lot at stake and a lot of challenging work ahead for SpaceX to make Starship a reliable, reusable vehicle.
Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for breaking it all down for us. Now, shifting our focus to space, the Hubble Space Telescope, one of NASA's most iconic and long-running missions, has hit a snag. The 34-year-old observatory is currently in safe mode due to an ongoing issue with its gyroscopes, which help point the telescope in the right direction. For more on this developing story, we turn to our space correspondent. What exactly happened that caused Hubble to enter safe mode?
On April 23rd, one of Hubble's three operational gyroscopes started giving faulty readings, automatically triggering the telescope to enter a protective safe mode. This isn't the first time this particular gyroscope has acted up. It caused a similar issue back in November. When in safe mode, Hubble's instruments are stable and the telescope remains in good health. But it does pause all science operations.
That's concerning, especially given Hubble's age and importance to the astronomy community. What are NASA's plans to address this gyroscope problem?
NASA teams are currently working to identify potential solutions. They have a few options on the table. If necessary, they can reconfigure Hubble to operate with just a single gyroscope, keeping the other as a backup. It wouldn't be ideal, but it would allow the mission to continue. NASA has a lot of experience troubleshooting issues with Hubble over the decades.
That's right. Hubble has quite a storied history, hasn't it? It's faced its fair share of technical challenges.
Absolutely. Shortly after its launch in 1990, astronomers discovered a flaw in its main mirror that caused blurry images. It took a space shuttle servicing mission to fix that. There have been four more crewed servicing missions since then, to upgrade Hubble's instruments and replace aging hardware. In more recent years, the telescope has weathered computer glitches and other gyroscope issues. Each time, NASA has managed to get the observatory back up and running.
It's a testament to the ingenuity and dedication of the Hubble team. But with the James Webb Space Telescope now in operation, some might wonder about Hubble's future. Is it still relevant?
Without a doubt, NASA sees Webb as a companion to Hubble, not a replacement. The two observatories cover different wavelengths of light and have complementary strengths. Hubble's incredible contributions to science include iconic images like the Pillars of Creation. Even after 34 years, it continues to make groundbreaking discoveries. NASA anticipates that Hubble will continue operating throughout this decade and possibly into the next, working in tandem with Webb and other telescopes to expand our understanding of the universe.
While the gyroscope issue with Hubble is concerning, it's likely just another challenge for NASA to overcome as they work to extend the telescope's already impressive legacy. Thanks for the update. Now, let's shift our focus from the stars above to the depths below. Octopuses are often portrayed as villains in Hollywood movies, with their piercing eyes and alien-like morphology. But despite their differences from humans, studying these creatures can provide valuable insights into the evolution of intelligence and the potential for extraterrestrial life. Here to discuss this fascinating topic is our Simply Space correspondent. So tell us, Why are researchers interested in studying octopuses in the context of astrobiology?
Well, David, octopuses are a prime example of how intelligence can evolve along a completely different trajectory from humans. They diverged from our evolutionary path hundreds of millions of years ago, yet they've developed remarkable cognitive abilities. By studying how their brains function and how they interact with their environment, scientists hope to gain a better understanding of the diverse forms that intelligent life could take on other planets.
That's really intriguing. But despite their intelligence, you mentioned that octopuses have a few key limitations that make it unlikely we'll encounter octopus-like aliens in space. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. One of the main issues is that octopuses have copper-based blood rather than the iron-based blood found in humans and many other animals. According to Peter Ward, a paleontologist at the University of Washington, this copper-based blood can't hold as much oxygen, which limits the size and complexity of octopus brains. Essentially, their brains are always on the edge of oxygen starvation, preventing them from evolving to be even more intelligent.
Interesting. So why did octopuses end up with copper-based blood in the first place?
It seems to be a result of their evolutionary history. Octopuses evolved from small, snail-like creatures that didn't require much oxygen. Copper worked well for these ancestors, but as octopuses grew larger and more active, their blood chemistry became a limitation. They were essentially stuck with a system that couldn't keep up with their increasing cognitive demands.
That's a fascinating evolutionary trade-off. Are there any other factors that make octopuses unlikely candidates for spacefaring intelligence?
Another major issue is their short lifespans. Most octopus species only live for a few years, which limits the amount of knowledge and skills they can accumulate over their lives. This is in stark contrast to humans, who can pass down knowledge across generations and build upon the discoveries of their ancestors. Without this ability to accumulate knowledge over time, it's difficult for a species to develop the complex technologies needed for space travel.
Those are some compelling points about the potential and limitations of octopus intelligence. Thanks for sharing your insights on this fascinating topic. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.